I was thinking as we were singing or hearing Lincoln and Hannah sing hallelujah just over and over and over again. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I thought that's what God is worthy of. Because of Christmas, because of what Jesus, the one who came and was born as a baby and then lived a perfect life, died for us to save us from our sin, he is worthy of us just continually saying praise God to him over and over and over again. Like we've been seeing in Revelation where the creatures and the angels, that they're just continually giving praise to God over and over. I think as we celebrate and we remember the gifts that Jesus gives to us at Christmas, you know, it's good for us to have that sound of hallelujah ringing in our hearts, ringing in our minds as we give praise to him. But this week, as I was thinking about Christmas gifts and gifts that Jesus gives to us, I thought back about over the years, some of the gifts that I've given to Amy. Over the years of Christmas presents. Several years ago, and thinking about the impact that those gifts have had on her life. And, you know, several years ago, I gave her her first smartphone for Christmas. And I thought, you know, that changed the way she communicates with people. It changes the way she checks the weather. Recently, it's even changed the way she listens to music at times. And last year, I gave her a gift that actually changed our Christmas day. You know, I was thinking way ahead last year. And before Thanksgiving, I already had her Christmas present. Now, I'm not always that on top of things. Actually, usually I'm not that on top of things. But last year, I was way ahead of the game. And by Thanksgiving, I already had an Instant Pot pressure cooker that I knew she was going to be excited about, and it was in a closet in my office here. So I knew it was too big. I couldn't keep it hidden, so I kept it down here, and the day after Thanksgiving, as we were decorating the house for Christmas, Walmart called to ask about my experience picking up the Instant Pot, and guess who answered the phone? Yep, Amy answered the phone, and so she got her Christmas present early, and so it actually changed the way she cooked Christmas dinner. So it actually changed that day, and it's changed a bunch of things since then. The way she cooks everything from beans to macaroni and cheese to chicken, you know, it's changed things in her life. It's changed things in our family. You know, sometimes we get gifts, sometimes we receive gifts that really are life changers, things that change our lives in more significant ways than I've mentioned. And when it comes to Christmas, that is most definitely true. The gifts that Jesus gives us are life changers. And this morning, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus and we prepare for Christmas Eve, our celebration there, and as you celebrate with family and friends throughout this week, I want you to see four gifts that Jesus gives that should be an encouragement to you, things for you to think about as you celebrate Christmas. My hope is that seeing and meditating on these gifts will change the way that you celebrate Christmas, and they'll change the way that you follow Jesus in the year 2020. It's probably no surprise, based on the first verse that Bob read, that the context of Isaiah 9 is not a pretty picture. The last verse of Isaiah 8 actually says, "And they will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness." Isaiah writes during dark days for the kingdom of Judah. And the kingdom of Judah is now separate from the rest of the kingdom of Israel, and Ahaz is the king of Judah. Now, during Ahaz's reign, Syria had come down and overtaken Israel. And Ahaz and the tribe of Judah, they were concerned that now the two countries together were going to come down and take over Judah. So Ahaz knows he needs help. Ahaz knows he is in trouble. So what does he do? He is on the throne of David. He is the king of Judah, the tribe that God has protected and set apart because of David. And now Ahaz is that king in the line of David. So where does he go for help? He doesn't pray. He doesn't call the nation to pray. He goes to the king of Assyria and he says, I need your help. And I'll actually buy your help. And he goes and he takes gold out of his palace and he takes gold and silver out of the temple of God. And he gives gifts to the king of Assyria so that the king of Assyria will come down and help him against Syria and Israel. He actually gives away God's stuff and doesn't even call on God for help. He goes to another nation thinking that they can be more of help to him than the Almighty God, the creator of the universe. So things are not going well for Ahaz. Things are not going well for Judah. And eventually, because of the idolatry and sin of the kings and because the people are following the king's lead, they too, they're going to be exiled. There's not much hope in the nation of Judah when Isaiah writes these words. They're in gloom. They are in anguish. There's despair. There's darkness. And in the midst of that darkness, Isaiah gives a message of hope. He says, there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea. See, Zebulun and Naphtali were two other tribes of Israel. Their land was at the far north of Israel. And these lands would have been most likely to mix with the nations to the north. And as borderlands, they would have also been the first to be invaded when they were attacked and likely received the brunt of the attack by an enemy. So the gloom and the darkness that would have been experienced by Judah, by the nation of Israel as a whole, would have been amplified in those areas. And they would have been more susceptible to adopt the practices of the nations around them and the customs of these foreign nations worshiping foreign gods. So by the time we get to Jesus' time on earth, the religious people in Judah see these areas up here that are being talked about. They look at them with contempt. You remember when Nathanael is told about Jesus? And he's told that Jesus is from Nazareth. And Nathanael's response is, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, Nazareth is in this area that Isaiah is writing about. Can anything good come from there? It's dark. It's a dark time. It's going to get darker. Eventually, Babylon will come in and take away the people of Judah into exile. But the words of God through the prophet Isaiah give hope to the people of Judah, and they give hope to us. See, this passage speaks of gloom and anguish in the past tense and glory in the future tense. See, Isaiah says there will come a time when you're going to have to look in your rearview mirror to see the gloom and the anguish because it's going to be behind you. And you are going to be in a time of glory, and you're going to look forward to even more glory. So Isaiah is giving the people a message of hope. And in this passage, he tells us about four gifts that Jesus gives to us that we can celebrate here at Christmas. And the first is the gift of knowledge. Look at verse 2. It says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. See, the people of Judah were in darkness. They couldn't see the way. It was like they were walking through a maze, and there was no light. So they're walking around, feeling themselves around, and all they can do is feel for walls and try to make their way through, and they're bumping into walls, and then they finally get to a place, and they're able to start walking, and they think maybe this is the way out, and you pick up speed, but then you just walk straight, your face just goes straight into a wall because you can't see what's in front of you. That is where Judah was at. They were walking in darkness. They had no light. They couldn't find the way, and they were just bloodying themselves up, trying to find the way. They needed light. And the light they needed was knowledge. See, they'd bought into lies. They were trusting other gods. Their king was bribing a foreign king for help rather than calling his people, his nation, to pray. See, what happens when you turn on a light or you light a candle in a room is now you know where the things are. You know where the obstacles are. You know where the walls are. You know where the stairs are, so that you don't fall down the stairs because you don't have that knowledge. And that's a gift that Jesus gives to us, the gift of knowledge. See, Jesus taught that anyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Jesus taught that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him. Jesus taught us to pray, and he taught us how to pray. He taught us the benefits of prayer. He taught us to love and to forgive and to be generous. You see, because of Christmas, we don't need to walk around in the dark anymore. Jesus gives us light. He gives us knowledge that gives us hope as we walk around in a world where so many don't know him and where there are so many consequences of sin. We have the light that comes from Jesus to guide us. One of the gifts Jesus gives to us is knowledge. And he also gives us joy. Look at verse 3. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. See, there's joy here that's joy from abundance, like you would experience when there was a great harvest. When you would harvest everything and you had plenty, you had abundance, you would rejoice at that harvest because that great harvest meant you could live for another year and you had food to get you through that next year. But there's also joy here like an army when they go around after a victory and they are collecting all of the spoils that the enemy didn't have time to take when they ran away. There's all kinds of stuff that they're rejoicing over as they get the spoils of war. And I want to make sure we don't miss that this joy is spoken of as current. It's already happening. You have increased their joy. They rejoice before you. Isaiah is writing about something that's going to happen in the future as if it's already happened. So he said, this gloom, this anguish is in the past, but you will have joy. God has increased your joy. When we hear and embrace and think about the knowledge that Jesus has given us, the truth that God has revealed to us through his word and through Jesus, it brings joy. You know, there is plenty in this world that could bring us anguish, that could bring us gloom. You know, I was thinking about, you know, the House of Representatives voted this week to impeach President Trump, and I think half the country thinks that they were right and thinks that President Trump is a danger to the nation, and the other half of the country thinks that the U.S. House of Representatives is doing something far worse than anything the president has ever done. I mean, we're like half the country is on either side. We're a country that's divided. That can bring anguish. That can bring gloom. But there is joy that comes from knowing Jesus that can supersede, can overpower the anguish that comes from the things we see in this world. There are many things in our world that can bring gloom, that can bring anguish, but even with all of this staring us in the face, we can have joy as a gift that Jesus gives us at Christmas. Because when we think that one day Jesus will receive us into eternal life, that he will receive us into heaven with him, that we will be with him for all of eternity, when we realize we've been given eternal life as a gift from God, that brings joy. When we think about a Father in heaven who loved us so deeply that he sent his Son to be born of a virgin, sleep in a barn, then experience everything we experience here on earth, then die an excruciating death on a cross, and then raise from the dead to save us from our own sin against God, that brings us joy. See, one of Jesus' Christmas gifts to you is joy. Joy knowing your future. Joy knowing the hope of eternal life. And there's a third gift, the gift of freedom. In Isaiah, in chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, it talks about the yoke of his burden, the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor. These are instruments that were used by a master to make his slave do what he wanted him to do if the slave did not want to do them. They were instruments used to oppress, instruments used to enslave and force people to, as slaves or prisoners, to do what they did not want to do. And what happened to them? You have broken them, as on the day of Midian at the end of verse 4. Jesus broke the yoke that was on his people. And he broke it as at the day of Midian. This is reminding us of the battle with Gideon and the Midianites, where there's this massive multitude of Midianite soldiers. And God calls Gideon to go and fight against the Midianites. And you remember the story where Gideon starts out with this army, and God says, no, you've got too many. And so he whittles down the army until Gideon goes with 300 men against this multitude of Midianites that were too many to count. And God gives the Midianites into his hand. They rout the Midianites. The Midianites start fighting each other. And it's not just a victory, it is an absolute rout of the Midianites. And it's a rout that had supernatural proportions. God did the victory. There was no way Gideon could have done that with 300 men. God gave him the victory. And verse 5 gives us an idea of how big of a rout. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. Not only did they win the battle, but the clothing of the enemies is now used for their fire. It's used as fuel for their fire. Not only was the enemy defeated, the possessions are now being used for your benefit. And that is the kind of victory that God gives you through Jesus Christ. It's not just a victory. It's a victory where God takes all of the evil things that Satan tries to use against you and actually uses them to do his work. God doesn't do the evil. Satan is trying to do evil, and God says, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. So this is a victory where you are victorious. And all of the schemes against you, God uses to accomplish his purposes and to accomplish good in your life. See, you were under a yoke that was hard, a yoke that pulled you down. There was this rod of performance that was continually beating you and saying, you need to do more. You need to be better. And Jesus came and said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. When Jesus gave you freedom, he defeated the enemy utterly and completely. There was no contest. There was no doubt that the victory was won by God and not by you. But there is this response that we need. Jesus says, trust me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Receive my righteousness by faith, and I will take your sin on me. Galatians 5 says, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. What I want you to remember this Christmas is if you are trusting in Jesus, you have been set free from sin. You are no longer a slave to sin. You're no longer a slave to your own selfish desires and passions. You have been set free to live in the way that God calls you to live. You've been set free to be able to say yes to holy living. You are free, and that freedom is a gift to you from Jesus. You've been given the gift of knowledge. You've been given the gift of joy. You've been given the gift of freedom. And finally, there's one more gift from Jesus, the gift of the kingdom. These familiar verses that we read a lot at Christmas, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus comes bringing a kingdom. And just to make sure we understand who this son is, most of us probably know this is Jesus. We know that because Matthew tells us so. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, Matthew writes, now when he heard that John had been arrested, he, Jesus, withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. And then Isaiah quotes these verses at the beginning of Isaiah 9. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Matthew tells us that the light Isaiah wrote about hundreds of years earlier is Jesus. And Jesus lived where he did and ministered where he did to fulfill the prophecy about the Messiah that was given by Isaiah. And then we see some pretty amazing claims made about this son that shows Isaiah knows this son is the Messiah. This son is the one that God has chosen to be king, not only over Israel, but over all of the universe. It says the government shall be upon his shoulder. So the government is going to rest on this son. The government is going to stand on the son that is given to us. The government will stand on Jesus. He's the one who will shoulder the weight of governing. And of the increase of his government, there will be no end. His influence, his power is going to increase and increase and increase, and it's never going to stop. The increase of his government, there will be no end. His authority is absolute. It will have no limit. And he will rule on the throne of David with justice and righteousness forever. His reign is going to go for all of eternity. And when Jesus reigns on earth, there will be perfect peace. Did you see that? Of the increase of peace, there will be no end. Peace will just continue to increase and increase and increase under the reign of Jesus. And when we think about these gifts that Jesus gives, we need to know that he gives us the kingdom of God. He came saying the kingdom of God is here. He came saying the ruling and reigning of God is here. That's what the kingdom means. He lived modeling the kingdom of God. He lived a life that modeled a grain of wheat falling to the earth and dying so that much fruit could be yielded. He modeled a kingdom in which people really believed that it was more blessed to give than to receive. He modeled a kingdom in which people forgave those who sinned against him. He modeled a kingdom in which love for God and love for people were the two most important commandments, and he obeyed both of those commandments perfectly. And he died so that anyone who believes in him could receive that kingdom. When you think about the gifts that Jesus gives you this Christmas, don't forget about the gift of the kingdom, the gift of the kingdom of God. Don't forget that if you are trusting in Christ, you are in the kingdom now. You are in the kingdom of God now. You are experiencing part of that kingdom now, and you will experience it in full when Jesus returns again. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have the ability to live in the kingdom of God through the power of the Holy Spirit right now, living here on earth. You don't have to live in the selfishness and pride of your old self. You've been set free from that old kingdom, and you have been brought into this new kingdom of God. This kingdom that has no limits, this kingdom that has no end. You know, often we hear the phrase that's been stated over and over, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And with sinful men, that may be true, but not with Jesus. There will be no end to the increase of his government. And when the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, takes over and exerts all of his authority, things will just get better and better and better. Peace will just get better and better and better. That is true for the universe, and it's true for your life. Now don't hear me saying that better means easier. When we live in a sinful world, living under the rule and reign of Christ is better. It will make your life better. It will not necessarily make your life here easier. It will not necessarily make your life here more comfortable. But living with Jesus, gaining more and more and more authority in your life will make your life better. Your life will have a greater impact on the people around you. Your life will bring greater glory to God. And as you think about submitting your life to Jesus as Lord, I want to look just real briefly at these four names that are given here for Jesus. One of them is Wonderful Counselor. Jesus gives instruction. His instruction is wonderful. It's amazing. He gives wise counsel, and he gives it to you through his word. Jesus counsels you through the Bible. He gives you instruction through it. You know, sometimes you may have been in situations where you're giving someone advice, and you know absolutely what they should do. You know the best thing for them. And you tell them, you know, this is what you ought to do. You ought to do this, and then do this, and then do this. And you know if they will just follow your instructions, things are going to be much better for them. And you come back a week later, and you find out they did exactly the opposite of everything you just told them. Well, I wonder if God sometimes feels that way about us. It's like, I've given you my word. I've given you this wonderful counsel from the scriptures, but you're doing your own thing. You're following your own way, not realizing we have a wonderful counselor in Jesus, and he has given us his counsel. He's also a mighty God. Jesus is mighty. He can rule with authority. He can accomplish what he promises. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. He is able to do what he says he will do. He's not a wimpy savior. He did not die on the cross because he was weak. He died on the cross and rose from the dead, showing that he was more powerful than anything we could ever imagine. He conquered even death through his death on the cross and his resurrection. Jesus is mighty God, everlasting Father. Now, this doesn't mean that Jesus is the Father when we say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a name given to Jesus like the others that describes his character, and it tells us that Jesus is both eternal. There's never been a time when Jesus was not, and there will never be a time when Jesus is not. And it also tells us that he cares for us and he loves us like a father. And that care and that love is going to go on forever and ever. And then the Prince of Peace. See, Jesus is a ruler, but he's not a ruler who stirs up strife. He is a ruler who will bring peace. Peace like we talked about earlier. Peace that will increase and increase and increase. Sometimes we hear a song around this time of the year, "Let There Be Peace on Earth." Remember hearing a commercial and they started singing that song, "Let There Be Peace on Earth." And I was wondering what they were going to do when it gets to the part with God as our Father. And they skipped that part. You know, a lot of times we want peace in the world. We want everybody to get along. We want there to be peace. But we don't want to submit to God as our Father. We don't want to submit to Jesus as Lord. And without the King who brings peace, there will be no peace. So this Christmas, I hope you draw near to Jesus, your wonderful counselor, your mighty God, the one who is like an everlasting Father to you, the Prince of Peace. I want you to draw near to Jesus because Jesus is not like a Santa Claus who just drops presents down a chimney and then flies away. Jesus doesn't put his gifts to you in the mail. No, Jesus delivers these gifts personally to you. Because the truth is, the only way to get the gifts is to receive the giver. The only way to receive these gifts, the only way to receive the light to walk the path, the only way to receive the joy of eternal life, the only way to receive freedom from your sin and selfish desires, the only way to receive the blessing of the kingdom of God is to receive Jesus, is to have Jesus in your life, to walk with Jesus. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. Jesus was given to us. And the only way to receive these gifts we've been talking about this morning is to receive Jesus. He's the gift that changes everything. It's only by receiving him as your greatest treasure that you will fully experience the gifts that he gives. So this morning, I just want to ask us all, are we trusting in Jesus? Are you trusting in Jesus? Is he the one you trust to give you knowledge? Is he the one you trust to bring you joy? Is he the one you look to when you need joy? Is he the one that you credit with freeing you from your sin? Is he the one that out of all the kingdoms in the world, all of the things that you could give your life to, all of the things you could submit to, of all the kingdoms in the world, is he the one that you say, I want to be in his kingdom. I want him to be my king. I want him to rule over everything in my life. If not, I urge you to give yourself to Jesus. Let Jesus rule in your heart. Trust Jesus. Stop beating yourself up with the rod of performance and trust Jesus to be the one who is good enough. Trust Jesus to be the one who was righteous. Trust Jesus to be the one who died for you on the cross to atone for your sin and who rose from the dead to give you eternal life. Receive the gift of Jesus. It's the only way to get all of the gifts that come with him.